Good evening, everyone. Hi, this is Donna Fox, and you're listening to Akashic Wisdom, a show about the Akashic Records, where we talk about the Akashic Records and your life and why things happen the way they do. And today is a very auspicious day for a lot of different reasons. First of all, we have the 9/11. We don't want to... I'm sure there's been a lot of folks talking about that today. I actually haven't been listening any news or any publicity or any stories about 9/11. There's a part of me that wants to not bury it so much as understand it. And there is no comfort that can be given to the families who lost folks, but there is a metaphysical reason we can talk about. One of the things I do want to tell you tonight, though, if in fact you want to email me a question, I have no backlight on my computer, so hopefully you'll be able to call in, and the numbers are right there on the screen if you're listening to bbsradio.com. So I'm a bit of at a loss for the telephone numbers as well as taking email questions, but you can certainly call in your questions or call in your discussion. I'd love to talk to you. For those people who are just listening in, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic Records, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And one of the things that I do want to put out there is that my work with the Akashic Records is certified by the Akashic Record Consultants International. We don't necessarily do past life regressions. We don't go into the past lives. Many times people associate Akashic Records work with past lives. My work, it focuses really on the here and now and the present, less about the past and less about the future. It's about what the reality is today and how we make choices to create a reality for tomorrow. So just wanted to kind of get that out of the way. And wanted to say welcome to all those who are listening for the very first time, and another welcome for all those people who have listened and are coming back. We've got a great following tonight. So, again, thanks for listening to bbsradio.com, and this is the Akashic Wisdom Show, and I'm Donna Fox. So I had an interesting question come forward earlier in the week. And the question was the difference between, I want to get this question for you. By the way, this is the last show that I'll be recording from, broadcasting from my current address. You know, we're lucky enough to do this from home. But I'm taking the big step and moving on. So this is kind of, when I said it was auspicious for a variety of different reasons, I wasn't kidding. I will be broadcasting from an apartment, my new apartment, next week. I mean, what's interesting about that is I haven't lived in an apartment in well over 40-some years. So that would be... it's going to be a new experience for sure, really a new experience. I am just looking for that question because I wrote it down. Has anybody ever had backlight problems? Does anybody know what to do about that? Well, other than they say they can put a new backlight in my laptop, but sounds expensive. Anyway, I'm good. The question was about, give me a second. We're going to find it. In the meantime, you might want to look up the telephone numbers to call in and ask your questions. Here it is. Okay, so the question is, when beings pass over from being in density on the planet to moving back into spirit, what are the differences? I was starting the answer there. I want to get the question. This is very interesting. I had it all set up, and it then went awry. But that's life, isn't it? Okay. The question is what's the difference between the beings that, I'm sure you're all familiar with that wonderful psychic, John Edward, who does readings of folks who have gone on beyond. And so he does wonderful work, if you've ever seen his television show. And it said, show me the difference. This is a question for the Akashic Records. Tell me the difference between the souls that John Edward talks to and the higher vibrational beings. Explain how and why the soul beings John Edward talks to, and how does that work? The next question was, who wrote the Bible? That should be an interesting thing for us to get into. Anyway, what the answer that came forward regarding the question of John Edwards is, you have to understand, too, when beings pass over, as I mentioned earlier, from being in density to moving back to spirit, there are some that still have the desire to stay close to their loved ones that are still in density. Again, this is choice. And if you'll remember or think about that, everything we talk about with the Akashic Records has to do with free will choice, whether it's our free will choice or the free will choice of a group of people that agree on something. For example, from a soul's perspective, the people that participated, I'm talking about all the people, all the human beings that participated in 9/11 were fulfilling a soul's intention of experience at a variety of different levels. So although it was tragic and horrific and awful, and we don't understand how that can happen, and all those wonderful things that the emotions that are stirred up, from a soul's perspective, those individuals made the choice to sacrifice themselves for humanity. And we can go into that a little bit more later. But I want to answer this question. So the question, as I mentioned, is what's the difference between these souls and these beings? And so the ones who want to stay close to the people in density, that's a choice of experience. And you have to understand that Earth is a free will choice planet, and so is heaven or being in spirit. That's also free will choice, in the fact that you choose your experiences in spirit the same way you choose your experiences in the physical body on the planet. So for example, when a being wants to experience what it's like to be physical and experience the physical emotions and all the other interesting things that happen, they choose a planet where there is physicality, where they can choose to be on the planet as a human or humanoid or whatever being is existing on whatever planet they choose to experience. And you have to also understand that whether a person chooses to be a higher vibration or a lower vibration, that also is free will choice. Again, these choices are made or decided on before you come into physicality. So the choice of experience of lesser vibration is what when a soul crosses over, their vibration is raised and they are at a higher vibration. And in order for them to hang around the earth plane, if you will, their vibration itself has to be lowered. That's why in some cases you'll see them, in some cases you won't. Again, when I say lower vibration, I'm not talking about lesser individuals or not what they used to be, or it should not be construed as anything else but as choice. And that's that's important to know. Okay. So as we were saying, everything is choice and spirit. And many times what looks like we have no choice, things happen like 9/11, where we feel we had no choice. The reality is that we are participating in a human scenario, if you will, that gives us the opportunity to make choices on many, many levels of experience. Okay, now, what the masters, teachers, and loved ones say, too, that being a different species is also a choice, and spirit is as light and or as energy, and you have the free will to experience any density you choose. Now, that means that there are different beings that are different vibrations. The same way there are different beings here, we have different soul vibrations. Some are higher than the others. So I'm sure you might have met somebody that you thought was not real smart, and you have assumed that this particular being is of a lower intelligence. That would be a mistake on your part, because you don't know where this being originates from, and you don't know what their intention is of experience. So what's important to understand from a spirit point of view, there is no right or wrong. It's just choice. And you have to really look at your choices and begin clearing and choosing to change. But then I know that's not easy. I've been going through so many different changes with moving this house. It's like I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. In fact, last weekend, I just was too tired to even do the show. I had to do a recording of another show because this is wearing me out after 28 years. You know, it's a long time to be in one spot. But getting back to the answer to this question, sorry, I digress. What they're saying here is that the different beings hold a different vibration, and the higher the being, the less they're going to want to stay in density. And again, that's not a criticism or a judgment call, it's just a fact. So what they're asking you to do is look at your life and notice the choices you've made. Choosing to change is not easy. It is when you have no attachment to pain. That's a very interesting concept. And the question you want to ask yourself when it comes to when people leave you or they, for whatever reason, they're dying, you have to really kind of search your soul and look at your life and notice the changes you've made. And then just about a revelation is that so choosing to change is not easy. So, I'm looking at another question here. Oh, and the master teachers and loved ones want to go on a little bit farther with this. What they're saying is that they're going back to it's when you have no attachment to pain. No attachment to pain. And one of the reasons people don't choose to change is even when they want it, it becomes too painful to change. You might want to consider that too. What does change mean to you? How do you handle change? How is change change impacted your life. The comment is that people would rather hold on to the known pain rather than risk everything or risk experiencing the unknown, you know, the unknown pain or joy or freedom or whatever. The fear is of the unknown. So these deep, dark challenges, if you will, manifest themselves in the choices you make around your career or relationships, etc. The master's teachers and John and loved ones that are coming forward with you and helping you ask questions of other folks that have gone beyond. These folks are there to assist you, but many times they're not any smarter than you are. So just be aware of that. The other piece that's important about change is the investment we have in suffering. Very hard to change, as I mentioned earlier, is because it hurts so bad. Well, the pain and suffering put a quantity on life, on the quality of life. And so what happens is when you put suffering high on the list of requirements for purity or sainthood or righteousness, when you put that suffering there, like, oh, they've suffered so much, they must be a saint. When you put that there, it's very hard to redefine. I think we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello, Donna.
Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, this is Nikki.
Oh, hey, Nikki. How are you?
It's
been a long time since Nikki's called in the show. How are you?
I'm well. I had a question coming up listening to you speak.
Okay.
If the record keepers were saying that change is easier if you have less attachment to pain, so if they could speak about how to release the attachment to pain that some people might have that get them stuck in patterns and get them stuck in places where they don't want to change because they seem to be, like, feeding into the pain instead of releasing that. What about that?
Right.
How
okay.
to release that attachment?
Well, first of all, hang with me here. First of all, what's important to understand is that pain is a choice. We don't see it that way, but it really is. And some people have set themselves up to operate from a place of pain. So one of the things they said is suffer is to be revered. This is the perception and the individual truth some people operate from. It has nothing to do with true truth. But, you know, we humans go by the concept of no pain, no gain. That's kind of like what people are raised on. So if you look at pain or the fear of not having pain, which is an interesting concept, if pain is all a person knows, giving it up can be scary because they don't have that sensation anymore. So, for example, they gave me an example about I can't read my own writing. Wait, I'm going to put that away for a minute because it was personal. So the idea of releasing pain has to do with understanding choice, and it has to do with understanding the hierarchy of decision. So if, in fact, pain is a choice, it has to do with the decision of choosing. I feel like I'm talking in circles. However, when a person is in pain, they can choose to look at the total picture, and they can choose to look at the various positive aspects of the pain. Let's say the pain is caused by change. And then they can choose to focus on the parts that are the benefit or they can choose to stay and wallow in the pain. So ask questions about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting. I know what comes up when I speak with people is telling them to look at, like, look from the bigger picture so you can kind of get that perspective, because sometimes you're so in an emotion that you are wallowing in the pain and not seeing the bigger picture. So can they give us any information about, for people maybe who aren't working in the records, maybe how to get a glimpse of the bigger picture perspective, and perhaps like why they're experiencing this thing so they can focus to choose where they see the benefit of the whole experience instead of the pain?
Well, first of all, people, you have to understand that some people need their pain.
Yes.
And that
yes,
rising up to the top, to a larger viewpoint, it's necessary to be willing to listen, to learn, and to feel. And so there's people. The underlying question you're asking, what I'm hearing, is how do people give up their pain who are afraid to live without it? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And so the piece has to do with working through what it would feel like to be without that pain. Because the pain is a person who is in pain that makes the choice to stay there is allowing themselves to be imprisoned by themselves. And the interesting thing about that feeling of being imprisoned is that they're walking around feeling imprisoned by the pain, but the door is open. They can walk through that door anytime they want. They don't have to be imprisoned. So part of your question has to do with how do people change their attitudes, or how can I get them to change their attitudes about being in pain? And quite frankly, if it's you trying to change them, that's not happening. If it's them wanting to change, then they have to be willing to choose to look at something from a variety of different levels, one of which isn't painful. So go ahead and ask questions around that.
I'm kind of writing now. Well, okay. I think that's it, that sometimes if you can give people a glimpse, or even yourself, of another perspective, or just ask to be shown something at a different perspective than what you're looking at it now, it kind of gives you a fresh look. If you feel like if you're so just in one mindset often, that's all you're seeing, that's all you're feeling. But again, it's true, some people are not willing to look at it from a different way or don't want to, and that's their experience. And so, I mean, I've understood, like, allow them to be in their experience because I learned from that, in that experience, in the pain. But, you know, for other people who are tired of it, you know, it's helpful to ask, like, well, can I be shown this from another perspective or something like that?
Right. So there's no magic pill that's going to shift somebody's attitude on this. It's something they have to want to do.
Right.
It's like they have to want to not be pessimistic. They have to want to not awfulize things. They have to want to not be a victim anymore.
Well, and even I know from past when, I mean, so many people are kind of conditioned to thinking or grown up thinking or whatever, you know, they want security and stability, and they think of change as a bad thing, or they judge it and don't realize how everything is changing moment to moment, really, even if they don't see it. And that if they can allow for the change instead of fighting against it and resisting it, that also lessens the pain.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So who do you know that's in pain? Well, I don't want you to mention names. But what are the situations that need to be
No, well, at the same time, too, I mean, exactly what you're saying, there's times when I've wanted to spare somebody pain, the pain that I think is from an experience or something, but I've gotten told that, like, to look at it as being beautiful, that they're having that experience because it is a growth thing for them. So that's, I mean, sometimes if you're talking about even, I don't know if you can get something on this level about speaking like what you were at the beginning of the show about this, the whole historical marker of this day and events that have happened, that sometimes people's so-called tragedies, as we see them, many people see them here as tragedies, are really growth experiences or, I mean, deep experiences on a soul level that were meant to happen and that were agreed to happen, and that it's, we could look at it as painful, but if you look at it from an Akashic record standpoint or from a soul experience standpoint, that it's an experience that those souls chose to have. And often, when you were talking about like the John Edwards people, like people passing and things like that, I know from doing work with the records in the past years that I don't look now as when people pass, they don't look at it as a bad or sad thing or a painful thing, as I look at the soul is leaving now and choosing to go on to their next experience. And that people don't, you miss the person, but you don't really have to be sad if you realize that they're going on to their next thing, and you can be happy for them on a soul level of them expanding into more experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I guess that speaks to like the whole perspective of even how we look at events or world events and like so-called tragedies that you know people say. I mean, certainly we don't want people. It's not like you want people to experience discomfort or whatever, but to understand it is kind of hard sometimes to get the concept. But for people that this was something that certain souls wanted to experience and agreed to experience. For themselves and for because we're all connected on a soul level to show things and to have other people connected into that experience and
absolutely.
Then what we learn from it.
Well, again, it's sometimes a person learns better when somebody else models it for them.
Right.
And so if they can identify with a model of releasing pain, then they can hopefully work with that.
But at the same point, also what you were saying is like, because I know I'm aware of not wanting to be part of any longer the pattern of or the experience of being a martyr and showing having that experience for others, and I don't feel that's necessary. You know, I mean
right.
And I keep wanting for years now, I've been wanting to connect in with learning and experiencing through joy and expanding through joy instead of expanding through pain. So is there anything that they can talk about expanding or learning through joy instead of through pain?
Well, first of all, what's very important to understand is that a human being cannot expand their spirituality with pain. It's impossible. Even if they come up with the lesson about the pain, it's not the same. The idea here is that for a person to elevate their being and their vibration, so that they put the appropriate boundaries up, so they don't experience the pain. See, whenever you what's important is that every painful situation carries energy. So the least amount of focus and energy you can give it, the better off you are. And the idea here is that there is a meditation that's coming on the number 11 to help move forward or release any kind of prejudgments of why somebody needs pain. Is that answering your question?
Okay.
So would you like to do a little bit of a meditation here?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So for those people who would like to release some pain, I'd like Go ahead.
So they're saying, though, that the idea of that idea, like you said, like that we have no pain, no gain, isn't really helpful. It's actually constrictive as opposed to expansive.
A person who chooses pain over knowing, for example, or over releasing, that particular, they're just going to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get stuck where they're at rather than rising above it and taking a look at the larger picture.
Right.
And so the whole point here is not to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You have a question around that?
No, and then I'm just waiting to hear. So the record keepers have a meditation around that about...
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Releasing the prejudgment of pain.
Say again?
You said that they had a meditation coming forward about releasing the prejudgment of pain and the usefulness of that. Okay.
And first of all, so if everyone would just settle in, and connect with that which is most sacred within them. Be sure and ground yourself for this, ladies and gentlemen. And take a nice deep breath. And now I'd like you to imagine a painful situation that you're currently dealing with, or that you've dealt with in the near past. And once you have that situation, once you just focus on the feeling of the pain, and now allow the pain itself, the pain of the situation, whatever the pain is that you're feeling, allow that pain to form a symbol. A human or an animal or a deity. Allow that pain that you're feeling, those feelings, to actually create a character in front of you. And once you have that character, the question that you need to ask that entity, that the entity of pain, is ask, what is my deep relationship with you? And how do I heal it? What is my deep relationship with you, pain? And how do I heal it? And now wait for the answer. Journal the answers. And in journaling the answers, become aware of how it feels to write down this information. And how does it feel to be able to understand what your relationship is with pain? Why do you need it? What is it doing for you? And the typical questions from the Akashic Records is, what does it allow you to do? what does it prevent you from doing? And after you get those answers, the question that you want to ask, once you've secured safety around the pain, because there might, because this pain might be feeling afraid, because all of a sudden it is not going to have a host for the feeling and the emotion. And so what you want to do is now ask the question of, show me what it would feel like to live without pain, to live pain-free. There you go. That's good. What would that feel like? Please note that. And now ask, what action steps can I take to move forward from this pain? What action steps can I take to move forward from the pain? Continue to journal. And once you feel complete, take a nice deep breath and come back to the room. So hopefully that was helpful, ladies and gentlemen. The whole idea is to start working some inner dialogue to help you get at the bottom of your belief system that are holding the pain in place. Because pain is an attitude, it's a belief, and it's a choice. Yes, there are horrific things that happen. But you also have a choice about how you respond to them. Are you back yet, Nikki?
Yes.
Okay. Anything you'd like to share?
Yes, I'm getting like another question for maybe people to journal about. When you were saying about, like, we often ask in the records, you know, what does this allow me to, why do I need the pain? What does it allow me to do? What does it prevent me from doing? So, but if sometimes things, like, in our lives are serving us, like the pain is serving us, often people use pain as a motivator to do certain other things. So I feel like if they could ask the question, what can I use to motivate me instead of pain to accomplish the things I want to do? And maybe journal about that.
Yeah, the other thing is what is the truth of my motivation?
Okay.
How can I motivate myself from a place of joy rather than pain?
Uh-huh, right.
Because the reality is if they're allowing themselves to be motivated by pain, then the outcome should be or could be joy. But if they're afraid of joy, then they're going to stick with the pain because that's more familiar.
Uh-huh.
So the idea of getting at the core issue there is important.
So what if...
Do you have a specific situation that you're thinking about or that you know of?
No, I guess I'm in general, but I'm thinking about, like, so what if people are... I mean, it's often true that sometimes... I just lost the word. if people are used to, like, if all they've experienced is pain, and so that's more what they know. So, like,
yep.
You're saying it is a scary thing for people sometimes to let that go, that sometimes joy is seemingly fearful to some people because they don't know it. So can the record keepers speak about anything about how to become more comfortable with joy when you haven't really experienced that much of it in your life?
Sure, that's a good question. Well, first of all, the first thing that's coming forward is to start to pick out simple things to do that bring joy. So it could be like walking in nature. It could be playing with a puppy. It could be coloring in a coloring book. It could be the peacefulness of just sculpting, you know, with some clay, or dancing and with movement. It's the idea of helping a person actually define what that feels like to feel joyful and blissful. But it doesn't have to be huge. It just has to be a baby step here and there that feels good and, most importantly, feels safe.
Well, and I know in working with the records and various other methods, but I think what comes up is that people don't often feel into their experiences or feel into their days about how would this, in making decisions and discerning things. And so often, I know we've done exercises in classes with, like, and this came out earlier in the discussion, show me what it would feel like if I were to do this, or show me what this would feel like. And so to make the suggestion to people that when they're making choices about things they may want to or not want to do in their life, to, like, check in first with themselves about what that would feel like to them, and then to choose the more joyful feeling experience, the more comfortable feeling experience, and trust that that is the choice that is more in alignment for them on the soul level.
Absolutely.
Irregardless of if it makes any sense at all to anybody else.
Right. And the thing is that the definition a person comes up with joy is changeable, and it doesn't have to stay the same. You know, what's joyful
right.
today may you might find something even more joyful tomorrow. See, that's okay. But the idea here is that sometimes people don't even have an idea or a definition for themselves, you know, of joy. And I think it's important that they move forward on that. Or at least, again,
the record keepers are saying start slow
to be able to document what feels good. It's something that's not threatening. In other words, like...
Right.
Like you said, walk in the woods, you know, the joy of an ice-cold drink, you know, I mean, there's certain things of... So, for example, for coffee drinkers, the aroma and the taste of a really good cup of coffee at first can be blissful and safe. And it's about translating those little feelings into enough touchstones in their life that they can bring back that feeling of joy when they need it. So it's interesting. What the picture they're showing me is like a wall of different... It's not a big wall. It could be like a large one of those tablets, those iPads they have. Or it could be really on the wall. But it could just be an application, I have an app for that, on an iPad, or whatever those things are called, and is that if there's different buttons or that a person would touch that would elicit a feeling of joy in different areas. they can put on the symbology there to help them get to those places of joy. Very interesting. If I touch this, I feel that. What comments do you have around this?
It's making me think of an exercise we did in a records class, but I think people could do it to journal about it and see what they get, to say just like, show me what it feels like to experience joy in my body. What does experiencing joy mean to me? Like, show me what that feels like. And
right.
I remember doing an exercise of that, and people had many various different experiences that came up that, you know,
right.
it stops and makes you think or feel, really, like what makes you feel joy in yourself.
Right. Yep. And it does. And the other thing is that there's something coming up around observing people who are acting in a joyful way and allowing yourself to merge into that joy, not to move into the individual's field so much of a knowing, but just to merge into that joy. So what they're explaining is, like, for example, laughter is contagious. Allowing laughter to be contagious. So if something is funny, allowing it to be even funnier for you. So it feels good. And that there's many, many ways to bring more joy into a person's life. But the idea of actually of getting a clearer picture of what it feels like in the body is a great idea, you know. And I remember that exercise. It was a good one.
Yeah, I had totally silly things come up at me, but it really made me laugh. And in the moment, I mean, it doesn't have to make total, it just was silly little things to, like, an individual that made you laugh or made you really feel blissful in a moment. And you can feel that, and it permeates your whole being then.
Yeah, and it's the same thing as with the earlier one. Show me what it feels like to be pain-free and filled with joy. You could even combine those. Show me what it would feel like to be pain-free and filled with joy. Because this way there's a barometer for somebody to play with.
Well, and then that makes me think, though, as you say that maybe people could work to get, sometimes it's a big leap from pain to joy, but at least if they could work on becoming more neutral to a situation or something that was causing them pain, like whatever could neutralize that pain, so that they could get to kind of more middle ground, maybe that would be helpful first before getting all the way to joy, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
And I guess I think from what I've listened to you in the past and just different experiences I've had, that, it goes to that going to that big picture. And if you can look at whatever's happening in your life as you're bringing it forward to serve you in some way, if you can go to the bigger picture on a soul level of, like, well, how is this serving me? What is this experience teaching me? Then you can find the benefit of the experience, and then you can feel appreciation for the experience. Instead of feeling pain for it, you can feel appreciation for what you're learning and then move on from there.
Right.
And know that you've learned it and no longer have to experience the pain of it or the misunderstanding, and you know that you're experiencing growth on some level because you looked at it to get the lesson from it and expansion on a soul level.
Yep. How can you use this in your life, Nikki?
I think I use it all the time. When any time I'm feeling discomfort in a situation, I try and step back in a moment and be like, okay, why am I being triggered or why is this upsetting me? But what is this? Why am I having this experience? I try and step back and ask and be like, what am I learning from this? Or what is this showing me? Or something like that. I try to distance myself a little bit and observe myself in the situation and kind of look at it that way, so that I'm not overcome by some discomfort, and I can try and understand why the experience is happening.
Yeah, that's a beautiful exercise, and that's the levels we're talking about. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And some days it's easier than others.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
To step back and observe than others. But
yeah.
I do notice when I'm very reactive or very triggered by something, and I try and step back and be like, oh, what is that about? Because, you know, those times when you're not choosing to respond in a certain way, but it's because, like, something... It's just this pattern of response when you get triggered like that, and so I try and watch that.
Well, that's
good.
Observe
that as to why that's happening.
Right. I just want to know. Is there another caller on the line there, Don? Because I heard it. I thought I heard a beep. No. Yes. Well. It's almost done.
I don't think so,
done.
But I feel like
wait, hold
we're
on
almost
wait.
Done. So I've...
Wait. Don, did you say that I have another caller?
No.
Okay. All right. Yep. But yep, we're almost done here. So, but thanks for calling and thanks for taking this into some deeper and more important steps. I'm sure that the listeners really appreciate it. Nikki, why don't you give your phone number in case somebody'd like to do a consultation with you?
Sure, my number is 216-374-2906.
That's great.
Thank you very much, Donna, for the information and your show. And good luck with your move.
Thank you. Thank you. Onward and upward to a new place, as they say.
That's right.
I'm moving on up, as they say. Yeah, this is Donna 3.0 going to start from this point forward after this weekend. And, you know, and I'm actually giving possession of my house on the day before my birthday. So that should be fun. Are you there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I said, did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, my friend. Well, thanks for calling in, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a nice
evening.
Thank you. Good night,
okay,
everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting towards the end of our show. I really appreciate Nikki calling in, and my numbers will not change. My office number is still going to be 216-691-1233, and you can certainly call and leave a message. And, yep, I'm going to be moving. It's funny, the energy was interesting tonight. It was, I personally was feeling a bit of tiredness, and I should have asked Nikki what she was feeling, but I was almost groggy at certain points. The energy was so strong. That's unusual for the records work, so that was just very interesting. But again, we're going to be doing an Akashic Records class in San Diego in the first part of November. Brazzo, B-R-A-C-O, is going to be in Cleveland on September 29th. We've got the Universal Light Expo coming up Veterans Day weekend in Columbus, and I'll be speaking at the Universal Light Expo as well as at the Controversial Bookstore in San Diego in November. So, again, my phone number is 216-691-1233, and I look forward to talking with you. If you have a question, please, at this point, you want to call the question in because I have this challenge with the computer. So, we really want to thank you for listening, and next week I'll be broadcasting from my new digs. Okay, well, I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on bbsradio.com by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Good night, everybody. Have a miracle-filled week. And take all the information you got this week and add it to your toolbox. Bye-bye.